This is, again, in my understanding, this is probably Rabbi Nachman's main Torah about Purim. It's not the only place he references Purim, but it's, I would say it's his main Torah in Likutei Moharan about Purim. It's Torah Yud. It's the 10th piece in Likutei Moharan. And it was actually given over by Rabbi Nachman right before Purim in the year 1803. Rabbi Nachman passed away in the year 1810. And there were some terrible decrees that were being issued at the time, all sorts of regulations and enactments against the Jews. And Rabbi Nachman was responding to that. And you'll see how he responds. You'll see how he responds. And he said that that Purim, which he was zochet to sing and dance and clap a lot, specifically clapping and dancing, as we'll see what that's all about, he said he was able to delay the decrees, these wicked decrees against the Jews. He was able to push it off for 25 years because of his tremendous simcha that Purim. And kach hava, the laws were actually enacted against the Jews in 1827. So mamish, he pushed it off 25 years. And you'll see in the opening line, he's commenting on the pasuk, ve'eileh ha'mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem. Rabbi Nachman begins, we'll come back to that pasuk way later. Rabbi Nachman begins, kishiyesh chas v'shalom dinim al Yisrael. When God forbid there are terrible decrees, there's midas hadin that's hovering over the Jewish people. Al yidei rikudim v'hamchas kaf el kaf nase hamtakas hadinim. By dancing and by clapping hands and by moving your hands and feet, a person is able to be mamtik the din, is able to soften, to sweeten the din. So friends, we're going to understand what that means today. Maybe you've seen breastlovers clapping or dancing. Maybe you've seen Jews clapping and dancing before. Right? Maybe you're the type of guy who's not so into dancing, not so into clapping. Maybe you're into it a lot. But if you haven't learned this piece, you don't really understand what clapping is. You don't really understand what dancing is. You don't really understand why Purim in particular is a time of involving our hands and our feet. That's part of the way that we defeat Amalek. Okay, so let's jump right in and let's see what Rabbi Nachman has to say. Again, it's going to take us on a windy road to get to where we want to get, but let's see if we can understand the main yesodos of this piece. Rabbi Nachman says, "Ki ikar gedulaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu." What's the greatest way to reveal Hashem's greatness in the world? It's when the whole world recognizes Hashem. The fact that us, nice Jewish boys, are sitting here learning Torah, it's sweet, it's nice, and it's holy. But imagine if the non-Jews of the world also were equally attracted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imagine if their emunah, their belief in Hashem, was as strong as our emunah and our belief in Hashem. That would be unbelievable. So says Rabbi Nachman, the Iker Gedula of Hashem comes about when Gam Ha'akum Yedu Sheyesh Elokim Shalit Umosha, when the nations of the world also recognize that Hashem is in charge. That's the ultimate. And just start thinking, again, this piece is about Purim. You could think that at the end of the Purim story, that really happened because the Jewish people were scattered throughout the lands of Ahasuerus, who ruled the entire civilized world. And when the Jewish people were saved, the message got out to the whole world, right? That the Jewish people are a force to be reckoned with, and the Jewish God is a force to be reckoned with. So the whole world came to recognize Hashem through the salvation of Purim. But the Zohar says one of the greatest examples of this is Yisro. When Yisro came to join Klal Yisrael, and Yisro says, "Ki ati adati ki gadol Hashem," the Zohar comments, "Kedein is yakar v'isala shema ilah." When Hashem's name is elevated, when the honor is given to Hashem's name, think about it. Yisro was a priest. Yisro was the priest of Midian, and he came to convert to Judaism. Is there any greater honor than that? And the Pope of Midian decides to become a Yid and becomes the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's unbelievable. So says Rabbi Nachman, the greatest kavod we can give to Hashem is when the nations of the world come to recognize the greatness of Hashem. So how does that work? The question you have to ask yourself now is, well, hold on. Torah is uniquely given to Jews. The Ummah Sa'olam are not even allowed to learn Torah. There's a prohibition of teaching Torah to a non-Jew. So how does a non-Jew come to recognize Hashem? Rabbi Nachman says, through tefillah. Prayer is something which is universal. It's true. It's very interesting. You ever think about that? Regardless of what religion you are, they have a notion of prayer, of praying, of davening. Torah is something which is uniquely the portion of Klal Yisrael. Torah tziva lanu Moshe morasha kilas Yaakov. Torah is a Jewish thing. Right? The Christians don't have a Shulchan Aruch. They don't have a Mishnah Berurah. They don't have a Shas. They don't have what we have in that regard. But they do have a concept of prayer. They have a place where they come to pray. So the Beis HaMikdash, actually, as much as we think of it as a Jewish house of prayer, is really a place of tefillah for the whole world. Says Rabbi Nachman in Os Gimel, Ula'akum i'efshar lehem leide gedulaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kiyem al yedei bechinas Yaakov. The Umos HaOlam can only come to recognize Hashem through an aspect of Yaakov Avinu. But Yaakov Avinu, you think to yourself, but Yaakov is Torah. So how does a non-Jew come to recognize Hashem through Yaakov? Isn't Yaakov Torah? Kemosha Kasuv Beis Yaakov Lechu V'Nelcha V'Or Hashem. There's something called Beis Yaakov. There's something called Ohel Yaakov, which is Yaakov's tent of learning Torah. Right? The sign on the door says only Jews allowed. But then there's something called Beis Yaakov. The Beis HaMikdash is a place of tefillah for everyone. Non-Jews are allowed to bring karbanos. We forget that. Non-Jews could come to certain parts of the Beis HaMikdash. We forget that. Ki hu gila elokuso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoser mishar ha'avos. As much as you think of Avram as the great, you know, teacher of God in the world, Yaakov actually made Hashem more accessible than Avram and Yitzchak. How so? Ki Avram karu har v'Yitzchak karao sadeh. Avram called the mountain where the Beis HaMikdash stands a har, a mountain. How many people hang out in mountains? Well, I guess mountain climbers hang out in mountains, right? Mountain goats hang out in mountains. Most people don't live in a mountain. So even though Avram, in a certain sense, was making, you know, Hashem accessible to the whole world, Avram called the Beis HaMikdash a har. A har is not a place which is easily inhabited. Yitzchak referred to the place of the Beis HaMikdash as a sadeh, a field. Okay, a field is a little more useful. People live in a field. I can build something in a field. If I'm a farmer, I work in the field. A sadeh is yoser musag v'nitzrach la'olam mehar. It's more purposeful, it's more accessible than a mountain. But Yaakov was mechadesh that the Beis HaMikdash is not just a mountain, it's not just a field, but it's a bais. Friends, everyone wants a bais. It's not a Jewish idea to have a bais. Everyone wants shelter. Everyone wants a house over their head, a roof over their head. Yaakov calls the Beis HaMikdash a bais. A bais is a makom yishuv livnei adam yoser misada. It's much more accessible. It's a place where one can live. And therefore, Yaakov called the Beis HaMikdash a what? A bais, and specifically a bais of tefillah. As the pasuk says, ki beisi, I'm skipping ahead a couple lines, ki beisi beis tefillah yikare lechol ha'amim. What an amazing pasuk. That my house, and Yaakov was the one who was machadish. By the way, this is a Gemara in Pesachim. This whole thing about, Avram called it a har, and Yitzchak called it a sadeh, Yaakov called it a bais. It's from our Masechta. It's Pesachim daf peches. Avram was able to make a concept of a place, a gathering place for Hashem, somewhat accessible. Yitzchak a little bit more, but Yaakov was the one who made it into a bais, a bais Hashem. Ki beisi beis tefila yikare, my house will be called a house of prayer, not just for Jews, lechol ha'amim. And therefore, what? That's the greatest honor that we give Hashem. When everyone wants to daven to Hashem, when everyone comes to recognize Hashem. U'kishahu bebechinas bais, when the Beis HaMikdash has this attitude, this aspect of bais, Kidain is yakar shema ilah kanizkar le'el. Like we quoted from the Zohar above, right? Is yakar shema ilah. Amen yehei shmei rabba mevorach. Then Hashem's name becomes very great in the world. Or, said differently, the pasuk says, Gadol Hashem u'muhulal ma'od. Hashem is very great and greatly praised. Says the Medrash, Eimasai gadol Hashem. When is Hashem so great? Kishuhu muhulal ma'od. When Hashem is greatly praised. But you know what Mehulal Ma'od means? Greatly praised, Mesitra Demosa, from the side of death. When Hashem is praised, not only by Jews. However, it's not such a chiddush when Jews daven. It's not such a chiddush when Jews recognize Hashem. But when the whole world stops and says, wow, there's a Jewish God, that's a chashuv thing. That's Mehulal Ma'od. When Hashem is greatly praised, even by the Umas HaOlam. So therefore, what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says, "Gadol Hashem u'muhulal ma'od." Great is Hashem, and Hashem is greatly praised. When is Hashem greatly praised? What's the end of the pasuk? Bi'ir Elokeinu har kadsho. When you take something which used to be a mountain and you turn it into an ir Elokeinu, into a city of God, And that's what Yaakov Avinu did. Again, when you learn Rabbi Nachman understands things through this process called Bechinos, aspects of, right? If I asked you, define Yaakov Avinu's life in a word, you might say Torah, right? You might say one of the Avos, right? But now we're learning that Yaakov actually is unbelievable in Tefillah, because Yaakov is the one who made the Beis HaMikdash into a Beis Tefillah Yikare L'chol HaAmim. And it makes sense. Torah and Tefillah always go hand in hand. So that means that if Yaakov is the greatest in Torah, if he's the Yoshev Awalim, he sits in the tents of Torah, he also has to be the greatest in Tefillah. You can't be successful in Torah unless you daven, and you can't be successful in davening unless you learn. Torah and Tefillah. Rabbi Nachman always spoke about taking a piece of Torah and davening over it, taking a Tefillah and learning it up. Torah and Tefillah go hand in hand. So the Chiddush that we're trying to create in the world is to bring everyone to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to turn that har, that uninhabitable place, into a place where everyone feels connected, to invite even a Yisro, a Gaisha priest, to come to join Klal Yisrael in such a way that he becomes a essential member of Klal Yisrael. Let me read one more paragraph, then I'll take your comments. Okay, but quickly, we're going to comment quickly. Questions, and hold your ha'aros for the end. If you have a question, a clarification, you can ask now. Says Rabbi Nachman, V'inyin zeh lahalos tfila mebechinas har v'sada lebechinas bayis bechinas ir alokeinu. To transform tfila from a har to a sada to a bayis to an ir alokeinu, to a city of Hashem. How does that happen? How does it happen to such a degree? That even the nations of the world come to recognize Hashem. How does such a thing happen? Who knows how to daven in such a way? Who could daven in such a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes recognized by the whole world? The answer is, E'efshar le'asos ki'im al yedei tzadikei ador. Now, however, this part might be hard for us to swallow because it may be foreign to us. But Rabbi Nachman goes on, and I have to admit, I cut out a big chunk here, okay? Even though in a certain sense, this is the part we need the most. Rabbi Nachman says, we have to realize that when we're attached to tzaddikim, they lift us up. That's hard for us sometimes to accept. And it's our own gaiva that gets in the way, Rabbi Nachman says. But the thought that I can, what do you mean? I don't need the tzaddik to daven for me. In fact, most of us probably think of that as a non-Jewish idea. To ask someone else to daven on my behalf, to solicit God on my behalf. But Rabbi Nachman says, you have to understand, the same way that the tzaddikim have access to Torah in a way that's totally beyond us, which we all know to be true, right? We all know that there are people who learn a million times better than us, who understand Torah a million times better than us. So there are people who also have a way of access to Hashem through tefillah. And therefore, the tzaddikei hador, who have the secret of prayer, who understand what it means to really daven, we have to what? We have to ride their coattails a little bit. So does that mean I don't daven? It doesn't mean you don't. Of course you daven. But it means that sometimes you have to turn to the tzaddik and say to the tzaddik, I need your help in my tefillos. He quotes, for example, the Gemara in Bava Basra, that if a person has a chola besoch beso, if you have someone who's sick in your house, the Gemara says, yelech etzel chacham v'yavakesh alav rachamim. Go to a Talmud chacham, go to a tzaddik, and say, I need you to daven for this person. Ki ikar ha-tfila einam yodim kiyum tzaddikei ador. Because the same way there are tzaddikim who know the secrets of the Torah, who can read the same pasuk or same gemara that we read and see it totally differently, there are people who look at tfila and can access it totally differently. So we have to sometimes be mavatal ourselves to the tzaddikim to realize not to be such a bal gaiva, and to realize that I don't necessarily know how to daven on my own. That doesn't mean I stop davening. Just like it means I don't stop learning. I don't say, well, I can't learn like Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I can't learn like Rav Shechter. I don't understand the secrets of the Torah or like Rav Itchemeyer Morgenstern. So why bother learning at all? We don't do that. But of course, I understand there are tzaddikim who have access to Torah in a way that I can only dream of. So tefillah is the same thing. There are people who know how to daven. And therefore, I have to conquer my own gaiva to be willing to ask the tzaddik to help me to daven. Ki yesh balei gaiva she'enem rotzim she'yelchu letzaddikim. There are certain haughty people who think, I don't need the tzaddik, I can talk to Hashem myself. And they can, but they also need the tzaddik. Va'omim she'en ba'atzim yecholim lispalel. U'monim gam acherim k'she'esh lem tzar ochol aleilich letzaddikim. Not only do they not turn to tzaddikim, but if their, you know, if their relative, if their spouse, if their cousin, if their sister says, "Oh, I want to go get a bracha from this tzaddik." Ah, what do you need to go? You're schlepping all the way, you know, going to this tzaddik or that tzaddik, or going to daven by this kever or that kever. What do you need a tzaddikim to help you for? Just talk to Hashem. And there's a deep truth to that, because you can talk to Hashem. But sometimes our own gaiva gets in the way. We have to sometimes turn to a tzaddik to help us to be able to access Hashem. Why does this have to do with Purim? Let's just pause for a second and just reorient ourselves, even though we haven't touched Purim at all yet, other than the fact that I told you that Rabbi Nachman gave this Torah over before Purim. Realize that Mordechai and Esther represent a unique, you know, power couple, a duo of a tzaddik and a tzaddikas, whose tfilos brought about an unbelievable Yeshua. And it was only in the schus of Mordechai at tzaddik and Esther at tzaddikas, Esther Amalka, that Klal Yisrael were saved. We needed the tzaddikim to guide us and to carry us. And we need to remember that. Yes, all of Klal Yisrael were davening, but it was Mordechai's screaming and crying as the tzaddik hador that was able to lead the way. Okay? So, Chavra, let's pause here for a second, and let's take any quick comments or questions, clarifications. Okay, Yehuda, let's hear.
I just wanted to quote from Rabbi Sunday Shir, because Rabbi Nachman quoted Yisrael, Atayadati.
Right.
And so Rabbi said on Sunday, he quoted the Rashi, that Rashi says, Makiro Hiyisila Sha'abar Ba'achsha Biyoser, that Yisrael already knew about Hashem in the past. And Rabbi was saying that the Malik mindset is that Hashem exists tomorrow and Hashem exists yesterday, but Hashem doesn't exist right now.
Right.
And so he's quoting this Yisrael that Yisrael said, I understood Hashem in the past, but I didn't realize Hashem was now Yoser. And we're trying to give the Umas Olam who have this mindset, we're trying to bring them to the Beis HaMikdash, which is this place where they realize that they have a connection to Hashem. And we're the people that are supposed to do it, us as the tzaddikim relative to them, and we are supposed to have tzaddikim relative to us.
Right, right. That's true. We have to be the tzaddikim relative. That's a nice way to say it. We have to be tzaddikim relative to the world, to guide the world, and then we have to find our tzaddikim, right, who are going to guide us and carry us. That's a good point. That's a good way to say it. Okay, so now let's transition really into Purim. So this is very beautiful. Rabbi Nachman gave us this amazing introduction. Let's just review the pieces, make sure we could thread it all together. He told us that when there's a Midas Hadin in the world, when the Jewish people are in trouble, we're supposed to clap our hands and dance with our feet. And then Rabbi Nachman goes off on this whole discussion about how the greatness of God comes about through the recognition of the Umos HaOlam, and the world comes to recognize Hashem. And how does the world recognize Hashem? Through tefillah. But we don't know how to daven, so we need tzaddikim to teach us how to daven. We need to be mevatel ourselves and our gaiva to be able to allow the tzaddikim to guide us. Okay, so now, friends, listen. V'ha'etza ha'yu'utza levatel ha'gaiva shehi avodah zarah. Now we're starting to enter into the world of Amalek, because Amalek is avodah zarah. Amalek is the haughtiness, the gaiva of Haman. Amalek is the antithesis of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents. As the Pasuk says, Tov as Hashem kol gevalev. It's an abomination to Hashem, anyone who's haughty in their heart. Because think about it, right? Using what Yehuda just said. The nations of the world, we have to be the light to the nations. We're the tzaddikim for them. And then we have tzaddikim for ourselves. But all of us are batel to who? Tzaddik Hashem b'chol derachav, v'chassid b'chol ma'asav. Hashem is the ultimate tzaddik. So therefore, we have to make sure that we don't fall into anything that doesn't acknowledge Hashem is a gaiva, which is a form of avodah zarah, and it's repulsive in the eyes of Hashem. So how do we remind ourselves that there's something bigger than ourselves by being attached to someone bigger than ourselves? I find this to be so important in my personal life. When I spend time in the presence of big people, it reminds me of how much I need to work on myself and how much I need to grow. When I hang out with like-minded people, people on my level, right? When you spend time and you're not in the presence of tzaddikim, so you start to think once in a while, like, okay, I'm doing good. Right? But then you attach yourself to someone bigger than yourself and you're like, whoa, there's so much more I need to grow. I see how a person who really knows how to daven. I don't know how to daven. I got to learn how to daven. I see someone who really knows how to learn. I got to work on myself. I got to learn how to learn. I see someone who's worked on a certain midah. I thought I was doing okay in this midah, but I see this person, mamish, has this midah. I want to work on it more. So the way to be mevatel one's gaiva, which is avodah zarah, says Rabbi Nachman, is by being close to tzaddikim, connecting yourselves to big people. As it says in the Tikkunei Zohar, bitrua diihu rucha is avir el acher. Through the sounding of the trua, Right? Think about it for a second. The trua, the sounding of the breath of the trua, the sounding of the shofar, let's call it the trua, the ihu rucha, which is primarily what? What is the sound of the shofar? Where does it come from? It comes from a ruach, right? A breath. So through that breath, which is a very holy breath, through holy ruach, through holy spirit, is avar el acher. It removes the el acher. El acher means the foreign gods. The Torah warns us, don't bow down. The Torah writes in Parshas Kisisa, don't bow down to an el acher. The Arizal points out very quickly that el acher is gematria amalek. So through our connection to the ruach, we're able to overcome the el acher. What does that mean? V'tzadik hu bechinas rucha. The tzadik is like a breath of fresh air. Think about it. If you ever had the experience, and if you haven't, I'm sorry to hear that. But I hope you'll be zochet to have such an experience. To go to meet a real tzaddik, to be in the presence of a really big person, and to have maybe an opportunity even to speak to that person, not just to see that person from a distance, but even seeing the tzaddik from a distance. But to spend time in the presence of a tzaddik, to get a bracha from a tzaddik, a real tzaddik. And all of a sudden it's like, mamish, there's like a ruach acheres that comes over a person. Right? As the pasuk says, ish asher ruach bo. When it's describing who is going to replace Moshe Rabbeinu, who's going to take over to lead Klal Yisrael, we're looking for a person of spirit, a person of ruach, a person who's like a breath of fresh air. Think about the Jews in Mitzrayim. What were the Jews going through when they were suffering in Mitzrayim? They were kotzer ruach. They were short. They had shortness of breath. It wasn't just because they were working hard. They were out of breath. It means they were spiritually depressed. So when a person attaches himself to a ruach, to the spirit of a great person, so that transforms what? The El Acher. El Acher Gematria Malik. It transforms that Yetzer Hara, that Avodah Zarah inside of a person. And of course, when one leaves that world of El Acher, they come back to the world of what? Hashem Echad. As he writes here, through the humbling experience of being in the presence of the Tzaddik, El Acher is transformed from Acher to Echad. Instead of being a Jew who's connected to Chas V'Shalom and El Acher, a foreign god, you come back into the world of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. There's so much to say about this and its connection to Purim, but not for now. The goal is for us to be able to what? To defeat that Gaivadik Amalek, to submit ourselves, to follow the advice of Mordechai at Tzaddik. And Mordechai, by the way, gave Esther some crazy advice. And yet she said, if this is what the Gadol Hador says, I'm going to stick with him. And Mordechai is leading the people in prayer, in davening. And it's a transformation, a kfira, that creeps into our heart. So now we come full circle, friends. Now we come back to singing and dancing. What does any of this have to do with singing and dancing? And why dafkon Purim? Rav Huttner has a piece in the Pachad Yitzchak where he says that while singing and dancing is something we do and we connect on many Jewish holidays and Jewish experiences, but Purim especially, friends, you have to sing and dance. You have to sing and dance on Purim. You have to clap your hands on Purim. To clap, you have to dance. It's a strong Purim avoda. Why? What does it have to do with Purim? Says Rabbi Nachman, v'zeh b'chinas rikudin v'amchas kaf. This is the concept of dancing and clapping. Ki rikudin v'amchas kaf nimshachin mi'b'chinas haruach shebelev. Because think about it. What makes you dance? What makes you dance? What makes you dance? What gets you moving? You may, if you think about it, you'll know it's true. When a person starts moving their hands and feet, it's because of what? It's because of an emotional state of being in their heart. When there's a ruach shebelev, when your heart is what? When your heart feels energized, uplifted, when you feel emotionally connected, right? When there's a simcha, the music starts playing at the wedding, and all of a sudden you feel, right? You start to clap, you start to dance, you come out to dance with your friend on the dance floor, the chassan. Yeah, and all of a sudden you feel, right? But realize a lot of it's coming from your heart. Your heart is causing your hands and your feet to move. So if we understand that ruach is the tzaddikim, when I'm connected to the tzaddikim, when my heart is feeling the ruach of the tzaddik, I want to clap and dance. I want to move my hands and feet. Kanira b'chush, as we see from our own experience. Because when a person feels a simcha in his heart, he starts to move his hands. He starts to move his feet. Rabbi Nachman says it's like the concept of the pasuk, libo nosa esraglav. His heart carried his feet. Interesting expression. It's an interesting pasuk, no? that libo nasa esraglav. It's actually a medrash, it's not a pasuk. Medrash says about Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov Avinu left, it says his heart carried his feet. What's the connection between your heart and your feet? Right? Obviously, the blood pumping from the heart out to the outer extremities, the limbs, the arms, the legs. But all that's coming from the heart. It's coming al yedei hatzadik, shu bechinas ruach. It's when I put my heart in the right place and I'm mevatel the gaiva of my heart. I'm mevatel the yetzer hara of my heart. I'm able to restore my hands and my feet. That's what the pasuk says, al tivoeni regel gaiva. Don't allow me to be overcome by what? By a gaivadik foot, David HaMelech says. Or maybe it's Avram Avinu saying to his guests, Rachsu raglem, wash the Avodah Zarah off of your feet. What does that mean, the Avodah Zarah of your feet? It means Pasha Pshat, that his Arab guests used to worship the sand on their feet. But there's something about having spiritual feet. And when your feet become uplifted, not just literally dancing, uplifting your feet, but when your feet become inspired in the right way, when you're able to mevatel the gaiva and the avodah zara, and now you start to dance, all of a sudden that what? That removes, that restores a spirit of faith to the world. And when Jews believe in Hashem, it negates all the negativity in the world. It negates all of the, that removal of the kfira removes all of the midas hadin from the world. It removes the charon af, Rabbi Nachman says to the world. When there's a avodah zara in the world, Hashem is angry at the world. When there's faith in the world, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with the world. So they go together. When we restore our faith by attaching ourselves to tzaddikim, who remind us that there's a borei olam, and now we're connected to Hashem, and now my heart's in the right place, and I'm able to start clapping and dancing, right? That itself removes the midas hadin from the world. Because the fact that I'm clapping and dancing means my heart's in a good place. And my heart's in a good place means I'm connected to tzaddikim. And I'm connected to tzaddikim means I'm connected to amunah. And then, if there's amunah in the world, and there's no avodah zarah in the world, so then there's no midas hadin in the world. There's no judgment in the world. There's no punishment in the world. And friends, this connects us back to Mordechai and Esther. Why? Says Rabbi Nachman. One more step, actually. Before we get to Mordechai and Esther, one more step. Right? And this is when Moshe, of course, is fighting Amalek. It says, V'yihi yadav amuna, his hands became faith. Moshe has his outstretched hands. But again, it's hands and feet of faith is what we're trying to restore. So now, listen to this. Torah is sometimes called hands, and Torah is sometimes called feet. V'atorah ozayin. Hi gam kein b'chinas yadayim v'raglayim. Okay, when you see these pieces come together at the end, you're going to have a big smile on your face. Torah is called hands and feet. Why is Torah hands and feet? Well, think about it. Your hands are the most active. Your hands, in a sense, are the part that tell the story of you the most, right? If I'm hungry, so my hands take food. Right? My hands move. My hands are active. My hands are the ones that are involved in whatever I'm doing. My writing, my business activities, my exchanges, right? So much of my life, the way that I live my life, is expressed through my hands, through my yadayim. My raglayim also carry me places. But I would say the difference between hands and feet, Rabbi Nachman says, is that the hands are revealed and my feet are covered. My feet right now are covered by a sock and by a shoe. My hands are able to be seen. There's an element of Torah that is called nigla, the revealed aspect of Torah. There's an element of Torah that's called nistar, that's always hidden. Just like my hands are almost always uncovered, more so than probably almost any part of my body, and my feet, right, are almost always covered, so too, there's a nigla, which is bechinas yadayim, and then there's a nistar, which is bechinas raglayim. The Gemara even says that one time someone was revealing Torah in the marketplace, and he said, Torah is compared to your thigh. Just like you keep your thighs covered, you keep Torah covered. So there's a nigla and there's a nistar. There's a yadayim and a raglayim. And now, says Rabbi Nachman, there's a Mordechai and there's an Esther. V'zeh b'chinas Mordechai v'Esther. Let's go through it now. Haman b'chinas Purim b'chinas Gorel. There's something called Mordechai, there's something called Esther, there's something called Haman, there's something called Purim, there's something called the lottery. Says Rabbi Nachman, let me explain the whole thing to you. Haman decides to have a lottery. What is a lottery? Shehipel Haman b'chinas Omer Sa'orim. Fine, we'll come back to that in a second. Let's go step by step. Ki Haman b'chinas Avodas Alilim. Right? Who's the Avodah Zarah in our life? I already told you. El Acher is Gematria Amalek. Haman tried, the Gemara says, to make himself into an Avodah Zarah. So say Chazal, She'osa Atzmo Avodah Salilim. Haman made himself Avodah Zarah. So Haman is the Avodah Zarah. And Haman tries to make a lottery. And what was Haman so excited about? He sees that what? My lottery falls out in the month of Adar. That's when the greatest tzaddik the Jewish people ever knew died, Moshe Rabbeinu. And he figures, this is great, this is a sign that we're going to overcome Moshe. But Moshe is the most anti-Avodah Zarah of all. Moshe fights against Avodah Zarah like no one else. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, even in his death, is buried where? Eitzel Baal Peor. He's buried opposite Mul Beis Peor. Moshe Rabbeinu is Nikvar Mul Beis Peor. He's buried opposite Baal Peor. Which means that Moshe Rabbeinu, even in his death, is fighting Avodah Zarah. What did we say before? We said that when there's Avodah Zarah in the world, there's Charon Af in the world. There's divine anger in the world. And that's what we're trying to remove. Again, Rabbi Nachman gave over this Torah because he saw there were terrible decrees that were about to be issued. And he taught the people, if you strengthen your Amunah, if you strengthen your Adayim, you strengthen your Aglayim, if you strengthen your connection to the Mordechais and Esthers of the world, if you strengthen your connection to Torah that's revealed and concealed, if you have Yadayim of Amunah, if you move your hands and feet because your Ruach is moved by the Tzadik Ador, maybe Rabbi Nachman's even talking about himself. So then a person what? Then a person removes the Charon Af of the world. So Haman is the Avodah Zarah. Haman thinks he's going to what? Celebrate the destruction of Klal Yisrael. After all, his lottery fell out in the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died. But Moshe Rabbeinu, even in his death, is fighting against the Avodah Zarah. That's why he's buried opposite Baal Peor, one of the worst Avodah Zarahs of all, the most repulsive Avodah Zarah of all. And Chazal tell us, the Tzaddikim tell us that Moshe is Gematria Charon Af, because Moshe is the one who fights that divine anger in the world which comes from Avodah Zarah. Ki hu mevatel Charon Af shel Avodah Zarah, like the Gemara said, that when there's Avodah Zarah in the world, there's Charon Af, there's divine retribution in the world. So Moshe Rabbeinu is fighting that. And Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to restore our Ruach. Now, when you don't have a Moshe Rabbeinu, you have a Mordechai and an Esther. Look what he writes here. Aval Mordechai ve'Esther ha'alem koach levatel avodah salilim shel Haman. Mordechai and Esther, like the Moshe Rabbeinu of his time, are trying to fight the Avodah Zarah. That is Haman. They're trying to fight this Kfira. That is Haman. Jews are bowing down to Haman. Lo aleinu. And they brought the Jewish people, Mordechai and Esther, as we'll see, were able to what? To bring the Jewish people back to a reacceptance of Torah. Uvishvil zebiyameyem, just like Moshe gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, Mordechai and Esther gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Look what Rabbi Nachman says here, it's brilliant, it's so deep. Rabbi Nachman says, we know that they reaccepted the Torah, as the Gemara says, kimu vekiblu hayehudim, right? What does the Gemara say? Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim. They re-accepted the Torah. Says Rabbi Nachman, you know what kimu v'kiblu is? You know what kimu v'kiblu is? Rabbi Nachman says, kimu is feet, and kiblu is hands. Think about it. What does kimu mean? To uphold, to stand. Which part of you stands? Your feet. Which part of you is mikabel? Which part of you receives? Your yadayim. So kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim means the Jews restored their feet and the Jews restored their hand. Kimu v'kiblu, you stand on your feet, you receive with your hands. V'zeh b'chinas yadayim, this is yadayim, this is raglayim. V'hu b'chinas Torah atzma, v'zeh b'chinas Mordechai v'Esther. And now let's see how Mordechai and Esther correspond to yadayim and raglayim. What would you say? Who's yadayim and who's raglayim? Who's Yadayim and who's Raglayim? So let's review so far. Again, we have Yadayim and Raglayim. We said that Torah has Yadayim and Torah has Raglayim. Torah has a revealed component and Torah has a hidden component. Who would you say is revealed? Who would you say is hidden? Well, Mordechai is running around in the streets and Esther's hiding in the palace. Her very name, Esther, means what? Means hidden. Mordechai is that which is revealed. Says Rabbi Nachman, Mordechai, we know, is called Mordechai, as the Gemara says, Mar Dror. Mordechai is like the Pasuk says about the Ketores, Mar Dror, pure myrrh, one of the spices of the Ketores. Dror is a Lashon of Cheirus, freedom. When one is free, right, they're no longer held in captivity. When you're in captivity, no one can see you, you're hidden. When you're let free, you're back on the streets. So Mordechai represents, that's why Mordechai is running around the Megillah, he's screaming in the streets. Mordechai represents the revealed Torah. Mordechai is the revealed tzaddik. Esther, of course, is the one who is Seser, who is hidden. And therefore, Mordechai and Esther together are fighting against what? Are fighting against Haman. It's these two aspects of Torah. It's this Yadayim and Raglayim. It's this ability to want to uproot the Avodah Zarah of the world, the Gaiva of the world. And therefore, friends, it shouldn't surprise us when it describes Mordechai raising Esther, taking her in, and strengthening her, providing for her, raising her as an orphan. What does the Pasuk say? It says, Vayehi Omein Es Hadasa. Mordechai was Omein Es Hadasa. Right? Kasher Haisa Ba'amna Ito, when he was raising her. Omein literally means to raise, right? Like to raise a child in one's home. But of course, it's rooted in the word Amuna. Because Mordechai, the Tzadik Hador, and Esther, the Tzadikas Hador, what they were doing is they were lifting up the Amuna of Klal Yisrael. They were restoring the Ruach of Klal Yisrael. After all, that's why the Gemara says, Esther beruach HaKodesh Namra. The whole story of Esther is the story of what? Of a Ruach HaKodesh. Of a restoration of a Ruach. And again, when the Ruach is strong in your heart, then what happens? The hands and the feet start moving. That's why we're singing and dancing. That's why we're singing and dancing on Purim. Mordechai is the Adayim, and Esther is the Raglayim. And therefore on Purim we restore it to its proper place, and we destroy the Amalek of the world. So now comes Rabbi Nachman. We come to the final paragraph, okay? Our final paragraph for today. Vizeh Perush, now we go full circle. Rabbi Nachman began, Ve'eila ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifneim. We don't even know what does that pasuk have to do with anything? Let's review. We started off in Os Aleph saying that clapping and dancing has the ability to remove Midas Hadin, to save Jews from harsh decrees. And then we explained that the goal is that the whole world should come to recognize Hashem, even the Umos HaOlam. And we explained that Yaakov Avinu has the ability to do that because Yaakov made the Beis HaMikdash accessible once again. By the way, keep in mind everything we learned 2 weeks ago about how Mishenichlas Av Mematin Besimcha, Chorban Beis HaMikdash, Mishenichlas Av Marbin Besimcha, Mishenichlas Adar Marbin Besimcha, Adar is a time of restoring Beis HaMikdash. And by the way, that's what happens at the end of the Purim story. We start to build Bayis Sheni. It's a restoration of Tefillah, which is how the Umos HaOlam come to recognize Hashem. But we don't know how to daven. So who's going to teach us to daven? We need tzaddikim to teach us how to daven. We need tzaddikim to teach us how to daven. By the way, did you ever notice, let's just point out for a second, did you ever notice probably some of the most memorable davenings in your life involved clapping and dancing? True or not true? True or not true? Was the best Kabbalah Shabbos of your life with hands and feet, or was it sitting in a chair, mumbling the words? Of course it was with hands and feet, because then you were really davening. Because you are connected in a way that the Ruach was in your lave, and it was transmitted to your limbs, right? That's Beis HaMikdash. That's a restoration of the Beis Hashem. Ki Beisi Beis Tefillah Yikar L'chol Ha'amim. So we need tzaddikim to restore our heart. And unfortunately, sometimes we're Balei Gaiva, right? We think, I don't need a tzaddik to tell me to daven. But of course, if you're in the presence of a tzaddik when you're davening, your davening is a million times better, right? Your hands and feet are more engaged. And there's a Yetzirah in our heart, there's a Gaiva in our heart, there's an Amalek in our heart, there's an El Acher that needs to be removed. And we do that by attaching ourselves to Tzaddikim, right? That restores the Ruach. The Ruach of the heart trickles out to the limbs, and it gets our hands and our feet moving. Now we come back into the world of Torah. We said Torah has Yadayim and Raglayim, revealed aspects and hidden aspects, right? And Mordechai and Esther correspond to the revealed and the concealed. Mordechai is, again, a lashon of dror. Dror means cheres, freedom. Mordechai is the one who's out in the world. Esther's the one who's hiding in the palace. They are both replacing Moshe Rabbeinu, whose whole avoda in life was to remove the charon af of the avodah zarah of the world. That's why Moshe, even in his death, is buried opposite one of the worst avodah zarahs of all, Baal Peor. Moshe is gematria charon af. Kimu v'kiblu ha-yehudim. Kimu, to stand, means your feet. Kiblu means to receive with your hands. Right? That's why on Purim, there's such an Indian of clapping and dancing. That's how we defeat Amalek. We clap and we dance. We show that our hands are strong, our feet are strong, our connection to Tzaddikim is strong. Our ability to daven, which we explained many times, is really the essence of Purim. Rav Weinberger explained it again yesterday, how tefillah, to talk to Hashem in an honest way, is so much what we're trying to do on Purim. But now we're still left with this last piece. What's this ve'eila ha-mishpatim? What's ve'eila ha-mishpatim asher tasim lefneim? What does the opening pasuk of Parshas Mishpatim have to do with anything? So chaver, listen to this. With this we conclude. Says Rabbi Nachman, ve'eila ha-mishpatim asher tasim lefneim. We need to learn the pasuk. How would Rashi learn this pasuk? What does the Medrash say on this pasuk? The Mechilta, the Medrash says, asher tasim lefneihem, hushvu isha l'ish, l'chol dinim shabbatorah. We always read Parshas Mishpatim as we come to Chodesh Adar. And Rabbi Nachman is now giving us, again, it would have been nice if we learned this piece, you know, as we entered into Adar, but it's very, we're not behind schedule, even though Mishpatim is already a couple weeks ago. What does it say? Ve'eila ha-mishpatim, these are the laws that should be placed lifneihem. And Chazal say, Parshas Mishpatim, the laws of damages, everything you're going to read in Parshas Mishpatim, the rules apply equally to men and to women. Hushvu isha le'ish, a woman is treated like a man with regard to these dinim. So don't think that if a man makes a hole in Rishos HaRabim and someone breaks their ankle, here are the halachos as outlined by the Torah and by Chazal. It's equally true for a woman, right? All the rules of Mishpatim, all the Bava Kama in Mishpatim, it applies equally to a man and to a woman. Perush lechol dinim shebetorah shitzarach lamtikam tzarach lahashvos. He says, what does it mean? All of the dinim ve'ela Mishpatim. These are the dinim of the Torah. Din also means midas adin. For all of the din of the Torah, you need to sweeten it, you need to soften it. And how do I do that? Tzarech lahashros, I need to what? I need to haynu liyached kutribichu shchinte. I need to align the man and the woman. The ultimate male-female relationship is us and Hashem. It's Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Hashem being the, or you want to call it a parent-child relationship, you want to call it husband and wife, male-female relationship, however you want to view it exactly, but you need Eila HaDin, and when there's Din, Asher Tasim Lifneim, you need to Hushu Isha L'ish, you need to realign man and woman, you need to realign ourselves with Hashem. The Yom Tov that has, it's so unique, a Yom Tov that has both a female and a male hero and heroine is Purim. Ish V'isha, it's Bechinas Mordechai V'Esther. Ve'eila ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifneim, says Rabbi Nachman. V'zeh perish, ve'eila. Whenever it says ve'eila, Chazal tell us, kol makom shenemer ve'eila, mosif al rishonim. It's coming to what? It's coming to add ve'eila. It's coming to add something. But what does that mean? Bechinas tosefes v'riboy. Bechinas gaiva. Ve'eila, when there's an excess in your life, when there's something extra, right? You've strayed from that world of Hashem Echad. You've entered into the world of El Acher. There's something extra. There's an Avodah Zara. There's something foreign. There's something that doesn't belong in your life. So now there's Mishpat. There's Mishpatim. There's Dinim. There's Midas HaDin in your life. And you want to try to uproot the whole thing. So what do you do? How do you do that? How do you get rid of this Amalek? Right? How do you restore? So says Rashi, says the Medrash, Hushvu Isha Le'ish L'chol Dinim Shabbatorah. Hainu, bechinas hamtokas hadinim, the way to soften the midas hadin, the way to remove the excess in your life, the way to remove the charon af, the way to get rid of the hamans of the world, and that avodah zara in your life, is what? Is by restoring your ruach, by attaching yourself, again, to the tzaddik, to make sure that if you have the tzaddik in your life, then your ruach will be in the right place, and then your, you know, your connection to Torah will be both revealed and concealed, hands and feet, you'll be singing and dancing. He ends the piece by saying one more beautiful pasuk. If I were to ask you before we started the shir, I said, tell me, who's a tzaddik? Tell me who's a tzaddik. You would, so maybe you'd say, I don't know about you, Rebbe's a tzaddik. Maybe you would say, I don't know, Rav Kluger's a tzaddik. For those who know Rav Kluger, right? Maybe you'll say Rabbi Nachman's a tzaddik. You'll name some living tzaddik, and you'll name tzaddikim who are no longer. You'll say Rav Shachter's a tzaddik, right? You'll say, I don't know, you'll say the Rav of my shul is a tzaddik. Rabbi Reichman's a tzaddik, right? David will say Rabbi Reichman's a tzaddik. A lot of tzaddikim, Baruch Hashem. A lot of tzaddikim in the world, right? Tzaddikim of the past, tzaddikim of the present. But if I ask you, no, but in the Torah, who's the tzaddik in the Torah? Oh, who's the tzaddik in the Torah? Yosef a tzaddik. Yosef a tzaddik. Yosef is the ultimate tzaddik. So friends, look at this pasuk. I remember the first time I learned this piece of Torah from Rabbi Nachman. It was probably, I don't know, close to 15 years ago. And I remember I was teaching in TABC at the time. And I remember it was Purim time and I learned it for the first time. And I remember when I got to this line, I said, wow, it's unbelievable. Look at this. What does it say about Yosef HaTzadik? Yosef HaTzadik, it says, as Yosef rises to power, Ubil Adecha, and besides you, Lo Yarim Ish Es Yado Ve'es Raglo. It says that Yosef, you're going to be so powerful that no one's going to be able to lift their hand or feet besides you. In other words, says Rabbi Nachman, the only way to get your hands and feet moving is to make sure that you're connected to tzaddikim, to make sure your heart is in the right place. Otherwise, you're just going to be depressed. You're going to sit there and you're going to say, I'm not in the mood to sing and dance. I'm not in the mood to clap. But if I'm connected to big people, if I find the Mordechais and Esthers of my world, right, and I put my heart back in the right place, and I get rid of that gaiva, that kfira, of Haman, of Amalek, of that Yetzer Hara that's in my heart, I remove it, then all of a sudden, what? All of a sudden, my hands start to move, my feet start to move, I'm filled with a sense of shleimus in my life, a sense of simcha. Yaakov Avinu is described as an ish tam, a wholesome person, a complete person, right? When I'm connected to the tzaddik, I know how to daven again. I know how to feel emotionally connected again. My learning, nigla, nistar, yadayim, raglayim, is strong. My connection to Torah is reinvigorated. And I feel that the Midas HaDin is able to be removed from the world. That's Yosef HaTzadik, that's Esther and Mordechai, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's the Avoda of Purim. Ve'ela, when there's a Ve'ela, when there's a Hosafa in your life, when there's something extra in your life, and you feel that there's Mishpatim, that there's Midas HaDin in your life, right? Asher Tasim Lifneihem, Chazal say, you have to realign male and female. You need your Mordechais and your Esthers. You need a real line, Kutchabrichu and Knesset Yisrael. You need to remind yourself that I only bow to Hashem. Lo sishtachaveh le'el acher. Destroy that Baal Gaiva, right? Kick out the feet from under Haman. Cause him to collapse and get back to a Kodesh Baruch Hu in an authentic way. And then you'll be filled with the sense of simcha. You'll be able to become a Beis HaMikdash again, to daven again, to learn again, to be able to be joyous, clapping and dancing again. And that's a big part of what Purim is about. Again, this is only a small and very quick explanation of Torah Yud. Again, I cut out some sections. There's a lot more here, and we learned it very, very, you know, b'kias. There's a lot more to talk out here, b'ion. But I wanted you just to get a taste of this awesome piece of Torah before Purim. And I hope that I hope you'll live it. I hope you'll be mechazik your emunah. I hope you'll be mechazik your davening. You're learning Purim is a day of davening. Purim is a day of Kabbalah HaTorah. Purim is a day of emunah. Purim is a day of singing and dancing and clapping. And I hope you'll be able to throw off that Yetzer Hara of Haman from your heart and be able to feel all of these things on Purim. That's my bracha to each and every one of you.